Welcome, everyone, to We Have Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I am solo for only the second time ever. My stalwart psychic host, Sway, is under the weather and unable to record this week. So you get to listen to me talk, and all by myself, and we all know that went so well last time. All kidding aside, thank you for joining us. We are here, of course, to talk about the comics of the week. Before we do, we always jump into a bit of news. So, I'm going to start with a little bit of indie comics news. Now, first of all, Scotty Young returns to Fairyland. So, it does look like he's going to be making a return to his iconic I Hate Fairyland franchise on November 16th. That's really interesting. It's a series I've always really wanted to get into. And this might be a chance for me to do so because there will be, my catchphrase, a Peach Momoko cover. So hopefully that will be the case. Next up, we can reveal that Firefly, via CBR, this is an exclusive release from CBR, Firefly is returning for a brand new special with Jeff Jensen and Nicola Izzo featuring a different Serenity crew. It's going to be called Firefly Keep Flying. Of course, it's going to be for Boom, and it is a one-shot. It's really interesting. I'm curious to see what's going to happen there and how it's going to be a little bit different. I love Firefly. And I really should get on the new book because I know it's David Brewer, who I absolutely love. But maybe this will be a gateway for me to get into it. And our last bit of indie book news is a brand new Vault series called Door to Door, Night by Night. This book is going to be written by Colin Bunn and drawn by Sally Cantharino, who we know from Human Remains from Vault. And it's about a group of misfit salespeople who peddle wares by day and hunt the monsters that prey on local citizens at night. I love it. It sounds like a very Vault book. And with Sally's art, it's just going to be really, really interesting to see how this works out. There are some preview pages up on CBR. Which is an exclusive and where I got this news, so make sure to check that out as well. Now we're going to move on to a bit of DC news. First of all, we have the upcoming new event, Batman vs. Robin, which is going to pit Bruce Wayne vs. Damian, and it seems like it's going to feature a lot of the magic users in the DC universe. I know we have Zatanna, Constantine, Etrigan the Demon, Felix Faust, and Tanarek all featured in the artwork and such. Along with that, it appears we're going to see a big reveal in this series because in a preview of Batman versus Robin number one, Batman is doing, you know, the broody thing. He gets a knock at the door, opens the door, and who's outside but Alfred. That's right, Alfred, who has been dead since 2019. Now, with all these magic users involved, is it real? Is it not? Not sure. We'll see. But very interesting to see where that goes. I kind of want them to leave Alfred dead. I think him being dead has been more important than anything he's really done recently alive. I think it's meant more to Dick Grayson. I think it's meant more to Damian. I think it's really impacted the Bat family in a special way. And I don't want to see that erased. So, yeah. Next up, Jim Lee, creator of Wildcats, is... They are having a new run for Wildcats, is what I'll say. He is not going to be the one doing it, though. It does look like it's going to be written by Matthew Rosenberg and drawn by Steven Segovia. And from what we can tell, it is... I don't have it set as a mini or anything like that. It looks like it's an ongoing. And the art already looks so good. And I'm very excited about that. I've been craving this since the Grifter tease in Batman Urban Legends. So I really hope this, you know, comes to fruition. And the best part is it looks like they're going to be facing the Court of Owls. So man, that just sounds awesome. I can't wait to see that. So put that on my list already. Along with that, similar kind of news, we have a new book from Amanda Waller where she's going to be, it's called Amanda Waller versus Wildstorm, specifically against Stormwatch. It's going to be a 4-issue mini. This one is going to be written by Spencer Ackerman and Evan Narcisse, with art by Eric Battle. I'm interested in this one because I do like the Wildstorm stuff, but I'm just not a Waller fan, at least comic Waller. I mean, some comic Waller, but not lately. I don't know. There's something about... I just don't like the Suicide Squad anymore, so maybe that's it. But it, I mean, the art looks really cool. This might be something I check out just because of Stormwatch, if nothing else. And also, we have some news about some new books. The return of Geoff Johns to comics for DC, which has been some controversial news, but we will talk about it. There's going to be a new Justice Society of America series with Geoff Johns and Mikal Janin. I love the JSA. I like them way more than the JLA. I always have. So that sounds really cool. It's going to be a monthly ongoing. And we do know that at least Flash, Green Lantern, and Hawkman are going to be involved. And there is an appearance by Rip Hunter. So, yeah, that looks really cool. Along with that, Geoff Johns is also coming back for The New Golden Age, which is a one-shot featuring the Justice Society of America's adventures. It's going to be artwork with Steve Lieber, Jerry Ordway, and Diego Orlatugi. And then the final one is Stargirl, The Lost Children, which is going to be illustrated by Todd Knock. It's going to be a 6-issue mini about Stargirl. So I think that's a lot of interesting stuff. It's very Justice Society-centric, which I love the Justice Society. I'm just kind of curious to see where we're going to go with this and what the reaction will be from the general fandom. So, yeah, interesting. Next thing, last bit of DC news. DC is celebrating the 1990s with 90s Rewind variant cover series. Without Josue here, I have no one to send these to. But, yeah, these look really cool. I am a big fan of the Diana one. I think that looks really great. I like the Flash one, too, because I really liked 90s Flash a lot. So check that out. They're up online. You can check them. And I think it's a really interesting choice, and we'll talk about why in just a moment. So as we move on to Marvel, Marvel Goes Extreme in 90s throwback variant cover series. Yes, you are not experiencing vertigo. They're both doing it at the same time. I thought that was an interesting choice. Marvel seems to be more like what you'd expect from the 90s Marvel look, whereas the DC ones look more kind of varied, actually. I like the Moon Knight one. I think it's really cool. The Deadpool one is unfortunately drawn by Rob Liefeld, so I won't be getting that one. And yeah, but some of them look really cool. I like the Falcon one for Symbol of Truth. I think that's really great. So good stuff. Also, I should mention the Fantastic Four one is very interesting. It's a Phil Noto cover. And for those who know Phil Noto, he has a very fun style, and I think that suits them well. Next up, there's also other variants coming from Marvel, including the Latin Heroes variant. Some of these are really cool. I like that they all share an aesthetic, and I think that will make them look really cool side by side. So for this, it's only going to be 6 issues, but it's Ghost Rider, Amazing Spider-Man, Avengers Forever, New Mutants, Miles Morales Spider-Man, and Strange. So check those out. It's going to be so good. I'm probably going to get all those because I really, really like those. Next up, we do have a bit of an exclusive from CBR about M'Baku in the new Wakanda series. So the book that's literally titled Wakanda. We do get to see that it is going to be heavily involving M'Baku, who is my favorite Black Panther character. So I'm very excited to see that. And there's a really great cover art up for it. This is a 5-issue mini. It's going to be written by Evan Narcisse and drawn by Ibrahim Roberson and Natasha Bustos. So make sure to check that out. Looks really cool. And I want everything with M'Baku to sell. So please, please buy it. Next up, something that me and Josue might have heard about ahead of time, but we wanted to wait for it to be confirmed. And now we're very, very excited. The new creative team for Fantastic Four has been revealed. It will be taken care of by Ryan North and Iban Quello. We are big fans of Ryan North. Very big fans. So I really, really like this pick. This might be the thing that brings me back to Fantastic Four. I'm pretty excited about that. And yeah. The new run's going to start in 47. Oh, no, sorry. David Popoz takes over for a short time in 47. And then the new group takes over. I don't have an issue. 48. So we'll see. I think it's going to be really cool. I love his style, and it's a little bit funny. And his run in Power Pack was really good. Highly recommend. So very excited. Next up, we got a teaser that in the upcoming issues of Savage Avengers, and this contains a spoiler, that the Punisher is returning to Savage Avengers, but not Frank Castle. Punisher 2099, which is amazing. I just love what Popose is doing with Savage Avengers, because he's just going all over the place, and it's such a great choice, and he fits the aesthetic of the team really well. I'm really excited to see where that goes. So, also, Marvel has announced a new Invincible Iron Man series from Gary Duggan and Juan Fragueri. It's going to be coming out in December, and it's going to be following Cantwell's ongoing run, which is going to end in 25. And basically, it's Tony in recovery. So it's going to be really interesting to see what's going to happen there. I always liked the Invincible as an adjective for Iron Man. I thought that was really cool. So, Marvel also, I'm so excited about this, guys. Marvel is revisiting cross-gen comics. Now, I was a huge fan of cross-gen comics when I was younger, because I thought it was so cool. They're like punk rock and they're doing their own thing. And it ended up not being like that. But there's still several cross-gen books that I absolutely loved. But it does look like we're going to get cross-gen tales. It's going to be a collection of four different cross-gen titles. And it's going to be really cool. It's going to include Ruse, which I love Ruse, Mystic, Sigil, and Sojourn. So those are four of my favorite cross-gen books. So I'm really, really excited about that. I cannot wait to see what's going to happen there. And maybe we'll start seeing more cross-gen stuff. Maybe they'll come back in a way. Maybe. Please, Marvel. That'd be great. And my final bit of news. Marvel has released a cryptic teaser indicating that bad things might be in store for the X-Men. On Marvel's Twitter account, we basically get an image with static before a series of words are displayed in Krakoan. The words, if you translate them, simply say SOS January 2023. We don't know what's happening, but I'm worried about my mutants. We'll see. I mean, we're already going through Judgment Day. This is too much. Just give them a break. Let them relax for a bit. So, but that's it for the news. What we're going to do now is I'm going to move on and talk about some comics now. And as always, we start not with a bang, but a boom. In this case, Boom Studios, we have Angel number 8, written by Christopher Cantwell, illustrated by Daniel Bayless, colored by Patricio Del Pelch, with color assist by Maria Agustina Avalejo, and letter by Becca Carey. From what I'm gathering and from what I can read into this, it looks like this is the end of the run. It comes to a pretty great ending, and an ending in a way that kind of reflects back on the show, which, if you're a fan of the Angel show, it starts with a battle, or it ends with a battle. It ends with them being, like, literally, he says, let's go to work. And that's how the series ends, when they're facing overwhelming odds, with some special guests that I won't spoil in case you want to read it for yourself. But overall, I enjoyed this run. I didn't know if I'd ever go back to the Angel franchise, but Christopher Cantwell was enough to bring me back, and I loved this. I thought this was really good. Highly recommend if you're a fan of the original series. Next up, for Boom, Flavor Girls number 2. Story and art by Loic Locatelli-Korinsky. Colors by Eros de Santiago and Loic, and cover by Loic. This is, of course, the Magical Girls story, with the girls with the different fruits and vegetables as their theme, and their newest member, the pineapple one, who has to learn how to train. This is kind of like her adjusting to the world. It's them telling us about how the girls work, how their organization is, and it's so much fun. There's so many cute moments in it. I love the art. I'm loving the characters. There's also a second story at the end that kind of places them in an inspired place and tells a really, really interesting story there for you to get to know them a little bit better. So highly recommend this. If you like Magical Girl stuff at all, check it out. The art is so cute. And just Boom. Boom does stuff like this like no one. And I think that's really awesome and admirable of that company. All right, following that, after the Boom, we talk about the Aftershock. And in this case, I only have one Aftershock book this week. That is The Brother of All Men, number 2. Written by Zach Thompson, art by Ioan Marin, color by Mark Englert, and letter by Hassan Otsmani-Ahau. this is the one with the guy trying to rescue the girl from the cult, and it's getting really interesting. And like the cult, you know, like all cults, cults seem perfect at first, and then things start slipping, and the way it starts slipping is really interesting. And the fact that he might have been like caught, but it hasn't been made public, and multiple characters seem suspicious of him. It's just really curious to see what's going to happen from here. I am loving the drama and the mystery of it. I do think it's been a really good series so far with the two issues. It's not too late to catch up on it. And I think you'll really enjoy it. If you like a good thriller, like a drama thriller, I think this is a great book for that. And there's a really good mystery going on that I still don't know where it's going. And I'm very curious to figure it out. So once again, The Brother of All Men, number 2 from Aftershock Comics. Next up, we're going to talk about IDW and the book True Cult, number 1, in fact. Written and co-created by Scott Brian Wilson, art and co-creation by Liana Kangas, colors by Gab Contreras, and letters by DC Hopkins. I really like this book. It's one of those bizarre books that doesn't feel quite real, and it's a book that me and Josue really enjoy, is this kind of story. This one is about a guy who works at a local burger chain, you know, just a typical burger franchise, and basically seems content with that, but also isn't. And he decides to make what he feels is the perfect crime. On his lunch break, he is going to walk to the shops, all the shops in the shopping center next door, and rob them all, and then go back to work. And that way, he has an alibi. And it doesn't go quite as well as you would expect. Some of the shops are a little bit disappointing in what they're able to present. But he gets back to work and he feels like he got away with it. And the cops show up. And a mysterious young woman shows up looking for a job. And so much is going on. And this guy's stress level is through the roof. And I really think it's interesting. I think it's going to be fun to see where this goes. There's definitely an uneasiness around everything, especially about this girl. She's hiding something, you can tell. I loved it. I thought this was a great start, and I just think it's going to be amazing. And some of the dialogue is fantastic, specifically when he goes into the mattress store. I really like that. So check it out. True Cult number 1 from IDW. It's also nice seeing IDW put out an original run again, an original book, because sometimes when I pick up IDW, I'm mostly picking up either like their IPs or Kanto, which has been around for a while now. So it's nice to see that. So next up, we are going to open the vault. Vault Comics. And it was a good week for Vault, and I'm very excited to talk about it. First of all, We Ride Titans number 5, the finale. Written by Tress Dean, art by Sebastian Paris, color by D. Cunniff, and letter by Jim Campbell. It's so great because, and we talk about it every time, I don't want to keep, you know, saying the same thing over and over, but for a book that's about monsters and mechs fighting and everything, this is all just about family. And in the end, it still stayed about family and about reconnecting with those you love, and, you know, how some people might be mistreated within a family unit, and not even like in a way that you would obviously look at and say that's horrible, but then upon reflection, how you can realize the passive, I don't want to say abuse, but the passive treatment of certain people. And I really loved this book. I thought it was a great little 5-issue story that summed everything up. I adore the main character. I just love her so much. And just everything they've gone through, everything her family's been through. I just thought it was one of my favorite vault, like self-contained vault books in a while. So really good stuff. We Ride Titans number 5. Check it out. I'm sure the trade's going to come out soon. I don't have any dates on that or anything, but I think you would really enjoy it. Next up, Quest Aside, number 4. Written by Brian Shermer, art by Elena Gogao, colors by Rebecca Nolte, and letter by Ann World Design. So, of course, this is about our favorite tavern in a mystical world that's right at the crossroads of everything, where people go to get quests. And it's just about the people that run the quests. We get another origin story for one of the people that work there, which has been progressing. And we have the looming threat of the King's soldiers. And our owner, who isn't sure what to do about it, thinks he came up with a plan. And I liked it a lot, which is to basically sell the tavern to a group of heroes and let them fight the soldiers when they get there. Obviously, they're able to defend it, but it doesn't go as he really intended. And in the end, he's still going to be the person there when the king arrives again. So I'm really loving this book. There's so many little fun jokes. I adore the characters. I think it's going to be very interesting to see where it goes and to see where we end up. I don't know if this is a mini. I hope it keeps going. I just love this. Like, it just forever infinity stories with this. And again, I can't wait to rip this idea off and use it in a D&D campaign. So thanks for that, Vault. Next up, a couple of number ones that we're going to talk about. And I'm so excited to talk about these. We've already talked about these on the show, but we gave spoiler-free reviews because we got an advanced copy. But we're going to talk about, first of all, Barbaric Axe to Grind. Written by Michael Marici, art by Nathan Gooden, color by Addison Duke, and letter by Jim Campbell. This is the return of Barbaric. And I'm so excited about it. It's so good. Barbaric, if you don't know, is about a barbarian is cursed to help people, his talking axe who drinks blood, and a young, I guess you call her, sorceress covered in tattoos, and the adventures they have together. This features an amazing fight scene with a bunch of giants, is what I'll say. And because you'll figure that out from the covers, it's not too much of a spoiler. But if this is the new arc, I'm very excited for it. It also features an aquatic threat that is like one of the checks on a list for me and Josue. It's just an amazingly big, insane aquatic threat. And oh, it's got one, and it's very cool. And the art is just amazing. Oh, I love this book so much. I can't express enough how great Barbaric is. But yeah, once again, Barbaric, number one, Axe to Grind. For the record, you don't have to have read the final or the previous arc to get this. You can totally get it. It catches you up right off the bat. But the previous arc was only 3 issues, so it's not hard to catch up. I would recommend doing so. And next is Heart Eyes, number one from Vault. This one I adore. Written by Dennis Hopeless, art by Victor Ibanez, color by Addison Duke, and letter by Simon Bolin. This is a world that is basically devastated. There's been a lot of damage done to this world by these monsters, and these people are just trying to survive. And it's a typical feeling of these worlds where, you know, when you're in these kind of worlds, you don't know who to trust. And we've basically come across a young girl who's very idealistic about the world. And I let's just say I fell in love with her immediately. I love her so much. She is fantastic. So I'm very excited to see where this goes. It's so good. I can't express this enough for you guys. Please pick it up. Yeah, the covers are really gripping and like grab you too. I also got the an additional cover, the 1 in 5 variant. And I really, really like that one too. So make sure to pick it up, Heart Eyes, because I think it's going to be one of Vault's next big hits. And that takes us to Image Comic Books. We are flying through this without Josue here, unfortunately, because I don't have anyone arguing with me. No, I'm kidding. I miss him so much. So, all right. Starting off with Ordinary Gods number 8. Written by Kyle Higgins and Joe Clark. Artist Felipe Watanabe. Colors by Frank William and letter by Clayton Cowles. This one is interesting. It's the second issue for the new arc. And our team is basically trying to work together. And they're kind of trying to come up with things at different angles. And they kind of realize they have to work together. The highlights of this are the Prodigy, who is just such a badass in this. And also the Doggo, which the Doggo is the best Doggo of all Doggos. And I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun. And I'm curious to see how long this is going to go. This is 8, so 10 or 12 maybe. I don't see it as an ongoing. It doesn't feel like one. So we'll see. But yeah, it's really good. This late in the game, it might be a trade weight for some people, which I totally get. But it's totally worth it. I think the art alone justifies this book. So next up, Undiscovered Country, number 20. Written by Scott Snyder and Charles Soule, art by Giuseppe Comancoli and Leonardo Marcello Grassi, color by Matt Wilson, and letter by Crank. Once again, it's a second issue in an arc, so not a lot to talk about. But we are continuing in the in this patriotic realm of the U.S., where they're living through the most patriotic moments in the U.S. and some of the historic moments, and that includes Paul Revere's ride, and our group is split up, so they're going different directions and such. And we, at the very end, we get a big last page reveal of another very important location in American history that they're at, and it's very curious to see where that's going to go. They're also trying to find out more about, of course, Uncle Sam. He's being very mysterious. Yeah. And then the Destiny Man is obviously sitting on top of all this and just being ominous. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. But yeah, Undiscovered Country number 20. Again, very deep into the series, but check it out. Next up, Bloodstained Teeth number 5. Story and creation by Christian Ward. Art and creation by Patrick Reynolds. Colors by Heather Moore. And letters by Hassan Atsmani Alhao. So this is the one about the vampire that needs to kill the vampires he made. He has a month to do so. And it's him going through this. And there's a really interesting storyline going on with him and trying to stop this famous vampire guy who's an actor who only does shots at night, of course. And has this weird little harem of girls. And so it harkens back to, you know, Dracula's women and the wives of Dracula, etc. And of course, he goes through what he needs to do and does what he needs to do, because that's what he does. But this overarching background arc has been so interesting. And we do find what might be going on. And it's really interesting to take it that way. I think it's going to bring up some questions that need to be asked. And what's going to happen in the future, if he's going to be able to stay to his mission. So really enjoying Bloodstained Teeth. I think it's one of the standout image books of the past few months. So make sure to check that one out as well. We also picked up Crossover, the 3D special. I'm not going to talk too much about it, but is the number one reprinted in 3D with a limited edition series, a pair of glasses, which are visually the same as the crossover cover. It's great. It is a bit pricey at $9, but you know, if you're a Crossover fan, it's probably worth it just to pick it up. And also, because if you're not a Crossover fan, this is your chance to pick up number one again and maybe enjoy it in a different way. So give it a shot. I can only say that much. If you don't know what Crossover is, just pick it up and I think you'll love it. Nearing the end of Image now, we're to the Silver Coin number 13. Oh, this is the one I wish Josue was here for. Written by Johnny Christmas. Line work and lettering by Michael Walsh. Coloring by Tony Marie Griffin and Michael Walsh. With a backup story by Adam Gorham. Wow. Okay, so Silver Coin is known for being very gritty, very visceral, and with these just tragic stories. But this one is so grotesque. And I don't say that in I hate it kind of way. Just it's so visually just gross. And I know that's some people's thing. And I know Josue really enjoyed it and wish he could be here to talk about it. But it also kind of leads to a question of the future of this and what's happening and what effects does this issue one have on the future? And yeah, you'll see what I mean if you read it, but it's very, very brutal. And I'm so curious to see where this is, if this is all going to end up tying together, if Michael Walsh has a plan in the end, or if it's just going to be an anthology forever. I'm very curious. So if you're a fan of horror, if you're a fan of gore and visceral stuff, Silver Coin number 13 is your book. And finally for Image, Do a Powerbomb number 3. I love this book. Written, art, and creation by Daniel Warren Johnson. Colors by Mike Spicer and letter by Russ Wooten. So our wrestlers have to team up now. And they have to actually become a tag team in this tournament where they're fighting for real. It's going to be very interesting. So you got Steel Rose, you got Cobra Sun. So their tag team name is Sun and Steel. And yeah, and on every other planet, wrestling's real and they actually fight. But on theirs, obviously, it's fake. So they're like concerned how they're going to be able to adjust to that. So we also get to see the tournament bracket, which was a lot of fun. Their first round opponents are Orangabang, which are a pair of orangutan brothers. And I really enjoyed this book so much. Like just the use of actual wrestling moves. I love the missile drop kick from one of their orangutan people. Their tag team move is what looks to be a top rope German suplex combined with a blockbuster, which is excellent and ridiculous. Love it. Yeah, this is really, really cool. Then when she gets to take over, she nails these knee strikes that would put any All Japan wrestler to shame. And then just the image of her moonsault off the top, the way it's drawn, is just so beautiful. I absolutely love it. I think it's just such a great imagery. So, of course, they win the first round, and now they're going to be taking on someone in the next round. And yeah, there's only going to be three rounds, so I'm worried this book is going to be over before I'm ready. So I love this book. It's one of my favorite books on the print right now. So make sure to pick out Do a Powerbomb. Now, with that out of the way, let's talk about the Big Two. And I got quite a few Big Two books here this week. First of all, Duo number 4. So Duo is, of course, the story of the mother or the son, the father and wife, or father and wife. I'm lost without Josue. The husband and wife combo who is sharing his body after she passes away. It's written by Greg Pak, penciled by Koi Pham, inked by Scott Hanna, colored by Chris Sotomayor, and lettered by Janice Chiang. And basically, they're torn between these two opposing forces that both want to recruit them, both want to work with them. But it's very clear that neither of them have altruistic goals in mind, neither on their side. So they're trying to decide what to do when kind of the decision's made for them. It also kind of goes to show the extent of their power and how much power they really have as a combo. And I really like that even though it's his body, she seems more comfortable with their abilities. She seems to be in greater control of them. So that's a really nice natural tension between them. But I'm really liking it. It's in this era of Milestone where both Static and all the other original like run are on hiatus. This one's here and I'm really enjoying it. So yeah, Duo number 4. Not sure how much longer it's going to go though. We'll see. And next up, Black Adam number 3. 3 of 12 for this mini and or maxi, I would say, because 12. Written by Priest. Art by Rafa Sandoval, colored by Matt Herms, and letter by Troy Pateri. So in the last issue, Black Adam seemingly was dying and passed his powers on to a young man from his bloodline that was present. Well, the young man is a medical student and he has the powers now, but then he's like, but he's not dead. And it's really great because he does very much like a TV house or TV doctor like thing like House, where he goes through a couple different things to try to prove what's wrong with Black Adam. And he's actually able to bring him back to life, but now he's already given up his power. So it's really curious to see what's going to happen from there. I'm loving this book. Black Adam is one of my favorite DC characters anyways, so I was going to love it no matter what. But it's been really good. And leading up to the movie, I think this is a fun book for people to catch up on, along with the Justice Society Files run that's going right now. The two of them combined is a really cool way to do it. So also, this is the first book that I saw the advertisement for Constantine Distorted Illusions from Kami Garcia and Isaac Goodhart, and you better believe I am purchasing that book. Just throwing that out there. And next, the finale to the Aquaman Flash team-up Void Song, part 3 of 3. Written by Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing, art by Vasco Georgiev, colored by Rain Burrito, and lettered by Troy Pateri. I really liked this. This is a combo that we don't see a ton of, like personally, together, Aquaman and Flash. It's not usually the ones they hang out with. So I thought it was a really inspired team up. And I like how they basically risk everything to save the world. And I love this amazing montage in the middle of the book where it shows like all the major heroes. It shows the Justice League. It shows the Justice Society. It shows the like all the people in Gotham, like heroes and villains. It's just like visually a really, really great, well-told story. And I love that montage and how they save the day. And I love the resolution of the conflicts, of specifically that the Flash doesn't spend enough time at home and that Arthur has this complicated relationship with happiness, essentially. Like, it's very interesting. But I thought this was such, I don't like to compare one to one, but I thought maybe it's just the fact this is only three issues. I feel like this is such more successful execution than the Green Arrow Aquaman one, because I felt that went on too long and it never really hooked me. So I loved this one. I thought it was great. It's also two characters I absolutely love, so that doesn't hurt. So check out Aquaman, Flash, Void Song. It's only three parts. They're nice and thick. They have spines. Probably they can make a nice trade one day. So check that out. Next up, we're going to start talking about Dark Crisis a bit. First of all, Dark Crisis Young Justice, number 3. Written by Megan Fitzmartin. I'm not even to the page yet. I'm just remembering. All right. Written by Megan Fitzmartin. Drawn by Laura Braga. Colored by Luis Guerrero. And letter by Pat Brisseau. Yeah, so our boys, Kid Flash, Robin, and Superboy, are kind of taken in by this world where everything is what they want it to be. And Cassie is being just incredibly devious and sneaky and pretty painfully obvious to us, but obviously it would be more difficult for them to pick up on this thing. But my favorite thing is that the Kid Flash is the first one, Bart, that is the first one to really realize that something's wrong. And I like that because he's usually portrayed as kind of oblivious and stuff. I just really enjoy it. This is actually a book I like Tim in, which I don't like Tim normally, and I thought that was kind of cool. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm so curious to see where it's going and to see what it's trying to accomplish within the massive world of Dark Crisis right now, what the purpose of this is going to be. Very curious. Also, this is the first issue that I think that the real Cassie didn't appear in, so I'm curious to see what's going on with her, what's she doing right now. So we'll see maybe an issue 4 of 6 next. And our other Dark Crisis book of the week is The Flash 785. A really great cover for this one featuring different generations of The Flash, by the way. I would recommend picking that up. So written by Jeremy Adams, art by Amanke Nahopan, color by Jeremy Cox, and letter by Rob Lay. Basically, Team Flash is dispersed throughout the universe to all these different alternate realities, including the reality of the Night Flash, which was really interesting. And basically Batman plus Flash, which is really great. But in the end, our team is able to discover who appears to be the real Barry. And so that does confirm for us, yes, the Justice League is alive and on these worlds. It also explains why we aren't getting a world without Justice League for the Flash, because that's what this run has been. So he's going to go off and try to find the rest of the Justice League. So the Flash family is going to continue and they're actually going to join the fight next, which I think is really cool. I'm enjoying this run. I'm off and on with Flash. It really is just dependent on a lot of things, but this has been a really good run. So I'm excited to see where else we go. And next, Harley Quinn, number 20. I also got the throwback cover on this one. For those who don't know, it's the one that is, I want to say this is the Batgirl one, but it's really, really great. So written by Stephanie Phillips, art by Georges Duarte and Simone Buonfantino, colors by Romulo Fajardo Jr. and letter by Ann World. We're continuing this fight in space on the JLA's space station as Harley's makeshift team is trying to defeat the monster who absorbs La Sheena and then unfortunately absorbs Solomon Grundy, which of course is heartbreaking if you're a Harley Quinn fan. Tries to absorb Killer Frost, but she's able to outsmart it in a way. And I just love the spotlight Killer Frost is getting. I hope this becomes a thing. Please let Killer Frost become a major big deal in DC. I would love it. But in the end, the fight comes back to Earth. And that's where we're left off as the team is trying to get back to Earth to help. I'm enjoying this. I think it's really great. This being the first arc after the previous artist left the book, I think it's a good arc. I think it's a good arc to kind of freshen up the ideas and to bring the, you know, to keep the audience secure, but also maybe bring in a new audience. I like this. I've always said this is my favorite run of Harley Quinn ever. It's not gone down at all. I really enjoy it. So make sure to check it out and check out these awesome variant covers because they've been really, really good. And as always, when it's available, our final DC book is Nightwing 95. And if you're asking, did Keith get the swimsuit variant? You bet your ass I did. It's fantastic. So, all right. Written by Tom Taylor, drawn by Bruno Redondo, inked by Caio Felipe, colored by Adriano Lucas, and lettered by Wes Abbott. And the last issue, Nightwing's sister, who is the mayor, basically got caught helping him and is being held by Tombstone. So it's up to Nightwing to save her, which he does immediately in the book. And I loved it. Then they're basically trying to figure out how to hit Tombstone with what she knows. And that's when all these individual like support characters that have been popping up throughout the run all come back and offer to help. And I love it. It's just like, this is going to be so cool. They pull off four like jobs at once, busting these bad guys and stuff. And everything seems to be going their way. Blockbuster then blows up Haven. And Nightwing is frustrated, goes to try to save some people. And that's when he's actually confronted by him. And he hits Nightwing, knocks the mask off, and recognizes Dick Grayson. And that's where we're left off. Oh man, that's going to be intense. Like, poor Dick. Like, his whole world is going to get torn up, and I have a really bad feeling about that. So, but great. I mean, it's obviously one of the best superhero comics on the shelves. Obviously, I don't need to tell you that. So, check out Nightwing; it's fantastic. And as always, we're going to close off with Marvel Comics, and I got a stack here, so let's run through it. First off, Ms. Marvel and Moon Knight. This is coming off of the Ms. Marvel and Wolverine book, where they're still fighting little tiny robots. In this case, she's teamed up with Moon Knight, which seems like an unusual team up, and I like it. Written by Jody Hauser, drawn by Ibrahim Roberson, colored by Eric Arcinega, and lettered by Travis Lanham. For anyone with these kind of crossovers that might worry, oh, they're going to take the character out of context, no, Moon Knight is fantastic in this as well. There's even the Mr. Knight sitting in the chair, what brings you to see me tonight moment. Like, it's just fantastic. They work together. Moon Knight solves things in his own way. We also get an appearance by Hunter's Moon and various different supporting characters from Moon Knight. So I thought this was really well done. And we're leading up to the end. And the next one is going to be Ms. Marvel and Venom, which I know Josue is very excited and might actually purchase. So, and after that is Iron Cat number 3. This team up between Felicia Hardy and Iron Man has been so much fun. And written by Jed McKay, as all great Black Cat stories are. Drawn by Perry Perez, penciled by Perry Perez, inked by Jordi Tarragona Garcia, colored by Frank D'Armada, and lettered by Ariana Mayer. Basically, and I love the way that Felicia describes this, I won't do it justice, so you can just check it out yourself, but they set a trap which facilitates another trap from the bad guys, which facilitates a second trap from the good guys. Basically, you just try to outthink each other, and you have to, basically the goal is to play the last card. And Felicia plays a hell of a last card. I thought it was a lot of fun, but there's a shocking betrayal at the end. And that kind of leads us up to the next issue. I'm really liking it. I love Felicia. I've made no secret of that. It's one of my favorite Marvel characters. And just to see the way Jed McKay treats her is just so much fun. She feels A-list, as she should be. She should be an Avenger. So check it out. Please buy it. That way we get more Black Cat books. And next, Hulk number 8. Very excited to talk about this one. Written by Donny Cates, with Daniel Warren Johnson doing script. Art by Martin Kokolo, color by Matt Wilson, and letter by Corey Petit. It is the finale of Banner of War, Hulk versus Thor. And yeah, it seems to wrap up appropriately. I really enjoy it, and we don't really get a straight answer who would win, Thor versus Hulk, but we do get kind of a resolution of the fact that Hulk disappeared and all the Avengers were trying to find him and stop him and everything. We kind of get a resolution that we're not going to have to worry about that anymore. And I think that's good. So we can have Hulk do his own thing on his own, and we don't have to worry about Iron Man kicking the door in at any moment. So I liked it a lot. I thought it was a very enjoyable story. And I'm very excited to see where we go next with both Hulk and Thor. So check it out. And next up, Captain Marvel, number 40. This is Trials Part 3, written by Kelly Thompson, art by Alvaro Lopez and Juan Fragueri, colored by Jordi Belair, and letter by Clayton Cowles. So the book has recently been going back and forth between Carol under a trial and all of her supporting cast back in New York. But this one stays with Carol the entire time and the trial she's going through from this magic group of people. And it's really interesting. I think it's some of like my favorite writing for Carol in a while, how she's going through this and how they're defining her, finding different ways to solve problems. And there's a pretty brutal moment near the end that I thought was really awesome. And the next trial seems to be like a very interesting story that's going to be, it's going to be very, very intriguing to see what Carol does. Make sure to check it out because Captain Marvel is one of the best female-led books in comics right now. Next up, Daredevil number 2 / Legacy 650. Written by Chip Zdarsky, drawn by Marco Cicchetto, colored by Matt Wilson, and lettered by... Do I have a letter? I don't see a letter. If you're a letter, I apologize. It's not listed on the credits for some... Oh, there it is, Clayton Cowles. It's hidden underneath all the guest artists. So this is a anniversary book, so there's a lot of guest art in it. But yeah, it is continuing the current story with Goldie, one of Matt's closest friends, and the role he is currently playing, that he's Matt's guardian angel, but he's got this really dark edge to him, that he's doing these horrible things, and it seems so just awful for something Matt is going through. And it's just setting everything up so well, and I'm very curious to see how it's going to end up. And also, we get a lot of guest art. We get the whole cover gallery thing, which is always a nice thing to do. And it does tease the future of Elektra and Daredevil when possibly some wedding bells ringing. So I'm very curious to see where that's going to go. Next up, Strange, number 5. Following the adventures of Clea Strange, written by Jed McKay, penciled by Marcelo Ferreira, inked by Roberto Poggi, colored by Hava Tartaglia, and lettered by Corey Petit. So Clea and her mother fight off the threat and work together. And Clea has to confront Harvestman. And she also has another meeting with Moon Knight, so that makes 2 guest appearances by Moon Knight this week. And it's just fascinating. Like, I love where it's going and everything. And I love that it's... Okay, there's a great twist at the end. I'm just going to spoil this twist. So everybody know I'm spoiling the end. We find out that Harvestman, who is the Sorcerer Supreme of Death, essentially, removes his mask, and he is Stephen Strange himself. That's why he can't come back to life. I love it. It's just been so good. What a book. I hope... I don't know if this is a mini. If it is, I hope Clea gets an ongoing, because I think it's a lot of fun. Even if they bring Stephen back, I hope they keep Clea in the picture and not just write her off again, because I think she's really interesting. I like her as a counterpoint to Stephen and Wong. And next up is Heroes Primordial, Avengers 1 million BC. Written by Jason Aaron and Kev Walker. Created and done by Jason Aaron and Kev Walker. Colors by Dean White. Letter by Corey Petit. This is the story of the Avengers from the year 1 billion BC. And I didn't catch the original run of this, when they were introduced. So this is my introduction to them. And I really love this prehistoric Phoenix. I think she's awesome. I love the design of the Ghost Rider. I think that's also a really, really cool design. I like Odin being the kind of piece of shit that he is in this. I think that's a really great story. I loved this. I thought it was a really great thing. And it makes me want to go back and catch out the previous little run of this story, because I want to see what it is. I believe it's Iron Man that goes back in time and runs into them, if I remember correctly. I want to go read it now. I'm going to go look it up. So, great, great advertisement for this story, basically. I think it's going to be really fun. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy it, especially if you like the idea of these Marvel legacies passed along as much as a million years later. So, And our next book is another Avengers book, Savage Avengers number 4. Coming off a big reveal, it is. Written by David Pappose, art by Carlos Magno, color by Espen Grusenjern, letter by Travis Lanham. We're coming off the big revelation that the Deathlok is Miles Morales. And it's him struggling with that. He goes back and forth between being in control and not. And the Savage Avengers themselves don't really appear all that much in this issue, which I thought was cool. Although we do get to see Dagger put on some pretty awesome warrior gear. But yeah, this issue belongs to Deathlok and it belongs to Conan because we've been talking, well, Marvel lost Conan's rights. What's going to happen? Well, we might have got our answer in this issue. And it's pretty epic is what I'll say. We'll see what's going to happen. He might come back. He might not. Oh, spoiler. But yeah, I'm curious to see what's going to happen, especially with what we know is the future of Savage Avengers, which involves Punisher 2099. So going to keep my eye on it. I'm very excited. And that takes us to our sole Spidey book of the week, Edge of Spider-Verse number 2. I got a really killer Spider UK variant cover. So again, it's an anthology. So 4 stories. Ghost Spider, written by Mallory Rosenthal, art by Iguara, color by Rico Renzi, and letter by Jokar Magna. Spider UK, written by Ramsey, art by Rory Coleman, color by Brian Reber, and letter by Jokar Magna. Shathra, written by Dan Slott, pencil by Paco Medina, and inked by Paco Medina and Walden Wong, color by Brian Reber, and letter by Travis Lanham. And a mini Marvels featuring Chris Giarrusso as the colorist and letterer, or cartoonist and letterer, excuse me. Yeah, I really like it. Obviously I love the Gwen one, but that's just me. I always love the Gwen one. But it does end with a really ominous moment that makes me worried about her future. And the Spider UK one took up most of the book, and I like this character quite a bit. I think she's interesting. I think she's got a cool aesthetic. I can also relate to being hungry all the time, so we have a lot in common. And then there's a final one that is about the origin of the web, and I think that was really, really cool. So make sure to check it out. Very, very interesting. I love what this is building up to, the crossover this is going to be. Which leaves us with one final destination, Krakoa. And we have a stack of Krakoan books this week, so let's jump in. X-Men House of 92, number 4, written by Steve Fox, drawn by Salva Espin, colored by Israel Silva, and letter by Joe Sabino. So this one is part of the parody of the Hellfire Gala, which I've really enjoyed. And instead of taking over Mars, they recreate Asteroid X as a lush place that floats around. There's also, you know, they parody the replacement of the people on the council with what I did end up confirming is going to be Dark Beast. And I love Dark Beast, so I think that's really interesting. And we also finally get the big reveal that people know that Jubilee is alive and being kept under Krakoa, and now found by the evil people that came back during the Ten of Swords parody. So we did get a to be concluded. So this is going to be wrapping up. I want to know what's going to happen. I love it. Also, I should mention the cover. The cover I got is a variant cover, and it's like a very 90s yearbook with people being nominated most whatever, including, of course, Cyclops for Best Eyes. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. So, next up, X-Men Unlimited, X-Men Green, number 1. If you read X-Men Unlimited on the app, you probably already know what's going on here, but I'll quickly talk about it. Written by Gary Duggan, drawn by Emilio Lasso, colored by Rochelle Rosenberg, and letter by Joe Sabino. I love this book. It's very interesting. It's probably my favorite run of Marvel or X-Men Unlimited, in my opinion, because it features some characters you really don't think about, like Nature Girl and Curse, and of course Pyro, who's amazing. But basically, Nature Girl is upset with how humanity is destroying the Earth and decided, you know what, I just need to kill everybody. So that's what she's going to do. And she goes through a very goth makeover in the process, which I thought was really cool. And yeah, a lot's going on here, and I just think that you're really missing out if you're not reading X-Men Unlimited. And if digital comics aren't your thing, I get it. I have trouble reading digital comics. Check it out on here. I think you would really enjoy it. You can get the actual printed version. This is part one. I think it's going to be two parts because of the size, because it's nice and thick. Next up, New Mutants number 28. The Limbo saga has finally ended. And yeah, what an ending. So let's talk about it. Written by Vida Ayala, art by Rodriguez, with additional art by John Durasima, color by Ruth Redmond, and letter by Travis Lanham. Yeah, so this time-bending thing finally comes to a close, and we get to see kind of everything come full circle as to how Illyana was inspired as a child to basically survive this long and do what needs to be done. And we do get to see Madeline Pryor take her, at what many people would say, rightful place on the throne of Limbo. So I loved this. It was a great run. I love when New Mutants do stuff like this. That's a little outside of the norm for the X-Men series. So no complaints. Really enjoyed it. Can't wait to see what's next. Maybe they're going to get tied into Judgment Day a bit. That'd be a lot of fun. Speaking of Judgment Day, Death to the Mutants number one. Written by Karen Gillan, art by Joey Villanova, color by Deja Lima, and letter by Travis Lanham. This is a tie-in to Judgment Day, and it's kind of like running side by side with issue number two of Judgment Day, where it shows how the Eternals are able to bring the Celestial back to life, and it goes through all that, and then also kind of like builds on it all about what we're going to be dealing with as far as this, you know, the Celestial is going to judge us and maybe destroy us, which is terrifying. It also goes more into what Icarus and his team are doing at this point, which is good because we didn't really get that in the main series as much. So it's a great companion to that story. Which leads us to X-Force number 30. This book is emotionally hurting me. Written by Benjamin Percy, art by Robert Gill, color by Guru FX, and letter by Joe Caramagna. So it appears that Kid Omega is dead and gone, not coming back. We're not sure why. Wolverine's still trying to figure it out, which is great because Wolverine couldn't stand the kid, and now he's like, he's missing his boy, which means that X-Force is a little understaffed right now, and when they have to go on a mission, it's just Deadpool and Omega Red, who are both provisional members. And it doesn't go great. Deadpool is left for dead, and a bear eats him. And then Kraven kills the bear. Kraven the Hunter kills the bear and finds the remains of Deadpool. And it's basically going to lead to him conflicting with X-Force because someone in a bar refers to them as the apex predators of society. So he obviously takes exception to that. So yeah, that'll be a fun crossover. Wolverine versus Kraven. I'm down with that. So let's see it. Which leads us to our final book of the week and the final Judgment Day tie-in, X-Men number 13. So we got our new team of X-Men. And man, here we go. This is their first mission, and oh crap, it's Judgment Day, basically. Written by Gary Duggan, art by Sia Villa, color by Matt Mia, letter by Clayton Cowles. They're fighting off the gigantic Eternals that are attacking the island. I love that Everett is more experienced now and such a badass now in this, and I think he I think he's really stepping into his own. I'll agree with Josue. I don't want to hear Firestar talking about the Avengers over and over. I'm really sick of that. like we don't like you. Like, go away. No, it's fine if she's here, and I think it's a good story to tell. I don't want her to be like, well, in the Avengers, like, yeah, I don't want that to be the thing. But the team is good. They're really good at what they do. I love that Forge has one very quick badass moment and then doesn't really do much the rest of the story, which I thought was great. And it leads up to, again, the tie into Judgment Day and the end of issue number two. So these all kind of supplement issue two in a really nice way. I like when Marvel events do that, where the other books supplement it but aren't required. So. But that is everything that I have this week. Thank you for joining me for this very quick episode where I, the boring half of our team, run you through the comics I read this week. And those are the issues that I had this week. Make sure to check us out on Twitter You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find our producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. You can find Josue at Josue Reads Josue. You can find the show itself at WHI Podcast. All those on Twitter. You can also find our other show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo. On that show, every other week, we review or we create a playlist with our friends of music based on a randomized category. An episode will be coming out this Monday featuring myself, Josue, our good friend and usual guest, Amanda, and comic creator of Bolero, Wyatt Kennedy, stopped by to talk about the best sex songs. And yeah, it gets fun. Josue threw a mature warning at the beginning. We'll just throw that out there. So make sure to check it out on Jukebox Vertigo. Again, at Jukebox Vertigo on Twitter, and you can find it anywhere you normally listen to podcasts. Also, later that evening, because it comes out on Monday morning, that evening, Josue will be hosting a listening party on Twitch at Josue Plays Josue. And on there, he will listen to all the songs that are added and play some games. Probably Mario Kart. That's what he usually plays nowadays. So make sure to check that out as well. With all that in mind, don't forget to bag, board, and box your new treasures. And we'll see you next week with a new batch of beautiful books. Stay safe and read more comics.